It's time for the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. Serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously.
What's new, Nate?
So I just moved into my new apartment, and it's a little studio apartment underneath in the basement of this lady's house. But it's nice. It's got like a separate entrance inside and a couple of windows, and it's awesome. The Wi-Fi kind of sucks, but other than that, it's pretty great.
Yeah, I feel like we need to get a virtual tour, but that'll just be for us, not for all of our listeners.
Right, yes.
The ceiling looks fantastic.
Thanks.
And your head looks fantastic.
Yeah, good. I'm glad.
That's a great way to start out, I think, getting an apartment that's attached to someone else's house. That's like how I've done it several times.
Yeah, it's nice because like everything's pretty much included in the monthly price, which has made it super nice. So.
Yeah, streamline.
It's a lot less expensive than most of the places around here, so.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, because the ATL is not cheap.
No, it's not.
We need to, you need to let us know what you need. We'll send you a little housewarming gift, like a candle.
Do you need a candle?
I actually have a candle.
What flavor candle do you have?
I don't know. It's pretty generic, like a vanilla or something like that. I don't even know. I haven't even, like, lit it, so.
It's not lit.
Not lit. It's just a candle.
Not
just
lit.
Existing. Did you buy that candle? Because I know how you like to go shopping for men's fashions. Did you
some actually, no. I didn't buy the candle. The candle actually came with the apartment.
Oh, so. Bonus.
That's a harbinger of positive things to come.
Right. Yes. That's what I thought.
What's new with you, Trav?
I'll tell you. At the time of the recording, this is not true, but at the time this airs, we have a graduate at our house.
Oh.
Wow.
And so I'm super excited. my daughter is a sometimes listener of the show, Olivia. She likes to tease that we talk only about Will and not her. It's like we don't even have a daughter. But she has busted her tail and gotten through the IB program. And we're super proud of her. She's on her way to college here in a couple months. And she's a graduate. So by the time this airs, we will have done some crying and some eating of, we're doing a crab boil for her graduation party.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, shrimp, crab, and crawfish. So it's going to be big time. That's a Florida girl graduation party.
Yeah.
I like it.
I took her graduation announcement to work and put it on my desk. And like 15 times today, I caught myself just staring at it like, I can't believe this is happening. I can't.
It's the worst part about kids. They grow up. What is new with you, Gilmer?
What's new with me is reviews, baby.
Reviews. And before you get to reviews, we've been blowing up.
Blowing up.
Big time.
Ever since the Yeti episode.
Yeah, I think the Yeti was like the gateway episode for some people.
Yeah, it's been like consistently insane. We have two new reviews this week. Okay, the first one is by Jug John. Hello, all. My name is John from Tampa Bay area. I have been listening since day one and keep checking iTunes for the next episode. Wow.
OG listener.
36 episodes already.
Awesome.
Time flies. Anywho, this podcast is one of my favorites. The cast is funny, humble, and great to listen to. I love that he calls us the cast.
The cast, yeah.
And he says, on some occasions, you learn a thing or two about hunting and fishing. I'll have to say, episode 36 had my side splitting. He's talking about the boat snacks episode for all of you that missed episode 36.
That was a pretty funny episode.
It was. He said peanut butter and jelly sandwiches are his favorite on the boat as a boat snack. But he agrees with the large Little Debbie fudge rounds, too.
Of course he does.
He says, please keep doing what you do. I appreciate you. And then he says, no, I don't model, bro. But I do post sunset pics when I get skunked after fishing.
Nothing wrong with that.
Hey, that's all right.
That's a great review. Thank you, Jug John.
Let me say this. I feel like it's a pro move to sprinkle in a sunset pic every once in a while, even if you're on fish or birds, because then it keeps people honest for when you're not on fish or birds. So like, keep doing you. Like, do a sunset every day.
Mm-hmm.
Then people just don't know.
Plus, it gives something for all the single Christian moms to like snap to.
Oh yeah, they could turn it into like Bible verse memes.
A meme, yeah.
Is that a Bible verse meme or is that, what do you call that?
A meme.
What you got next, Tim?
My phone died. Hang on. Oh gosh, I don't even feel like the person that should read this. I feel like we could just unplug everything and walk away from the podcast right now, and we will have reached the pinnacle of greatness because Uncle Tim left a comment on iTunes.
Heyo.
Now I've met Uncle Tim a few times. But I have never fished or hunted with him.
Yeah, you don't know Uncle Tim.
But the legend is enough to just, you mention his name and I get goosebumps all over my body.
Uncle Tim was my Sunday school teacher. And on the reg, I'm bringing On the Reg back. On the reg, we would show up to Sunday school and there were like six guys in this class when I was in youth group. And he would just load us all in the car, take us to McDonald's and buy us all big breakfast.
That's baller.
Yeah. Like Uncle
Tim, like a great Sunday school.
Uncle Tim, yeah, I'm sure we said the blessing, but Uncle Tim is, he's the OG, he's the legend.
Listen to what he titled his review: "Stay hungry, my friends."
Boom,
it's amazing.
I mean, that says it all. He says, "This is a true Florida outdoor show. I look forward to spending my lunch break with you guys every Tuesday. Great memories with you two in the outdoors. Don't leave home without your snacks, Uncle Tim."
Boom,
baller, Uncle Tim.
Mic drop.
Yeah, like I feel like we've arrived when we get an Uncle Tim
official iTunes review.
Yeah,
5 stars.
Thank you, Uncle Tim.
Because Uncle Tim could have probably roasted y'all with like a 2-star review.
He absolutely
could've. Oh, he definitely could have. Oh yeah, he's got plenty of dirt on both of us from stupid stuff we've done over the years.
Absolutely, he does. You with your cousin Josh, his son.
Yep.
And me because he's been around me since I was probably 10 or 11 years old.
Yeah.
Can we do an Uncle Tim episode?
Yeah, I feel like an Uncle Tim episode would be a bestseller.
Right. Yeah, we definitely need to get him on the podcast.
Well, today's episode 37, what are we talking about this week?
Hold on, before we get into it.
Oh, my bad.
Before we get into it, I don't know if I would say a game is the foot, but we got a lot of feedback. We got a lot of feedback on boat snacks. Like an absurd amount. Like we were overwhelmed. We were moved.
These are my people.
It was astounding to me. Em, if you listen to the episode, we cut her off when she starts to talk about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And a lot of people had some heartfelt emotions about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And I'm a fan. I like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. But something we've been talking about for a while off the air is, which is more important, peanut butter or jelly? Like, what do you take in that debate, Nate?
I'm a little bit more of a peanut butter guy, so I like a little bit more peanut butter than jelly, but I also don't like to skimp, really, on the jelly. Like, you know, I'm not like 70-30. I'm more like 60-40 peanut butter. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have a thought on this? I mean,
I would agree with Nate because I have a texture issue with the jelly. Like, if there's big clumps of jelly on the bread in certain spots, so you're not getting an even distribution of jelly in every bite, I'm out.
And we're all creamy peanut butter, right? Like if you eat chunky peanut butter, the terrorists win. Al-Qaeda wins.
I don't know if I'm that strong about it, but I do prefer creamy.
You have a jelly flavor preference?
Okay, I do have a jelly flavor preference. And for me, it is anything homemade by my mom, somebody's grandmother, your grandmother. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really like strawberry jelly, but if your gram makes strawberry fig preserves, I'm putting that sucker on a peanut butter jelly. Mm-hmm.
My preference would be strawberry jam made by my great-grandmother, who recently just passed away. So it's kind of sad that she won't be making any more. But
Granny,
I think we still have some in your Granny Heart. Yeah, I think we still have some in the freezer. So I'm going to have to, next time I'm home, I'll have to snag a jar of that.
Ration that out.
Mm-hmm. That's a lost art, too, making homemade jelly.
It really is.
I'm a big blackberry fan, and my mom makes homemade blackberry without the seeds, and that stuff's legit.
Mm-hmm. So that's my favorite, too.
When I can get my hands on that, that's where I want
to
be.
That's the one when you go to Cracker Barrel, you're like, can you bring me all the blackberry jam that y'all have? What you're going to do?
What you heard was, I want a lot of blackberry jam, but what I said was I want all the blackberry jam.
All the blackberry jam.
Okay. Early on in our podcasting careers, episode 1, to be exact.
That was early.
We had an episode entitled Things Fishermen Love. Things Fishermen Like. I can't remember. I can't even remember what we'll title this by the end of the episode. I re-listened to this today, and first off, it's terrible.
Was it?
No, it wasn't. It was excellent. But if you think back, the sound quality was so bad. Like, I was in the car, and I had to turn the air off so I could hear us.
Oh, yeah.
And we've come a long way, baby.
I wonder if we could remaster that thing and re-release it.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that as a... you know how they do, like, they revisit, like, Starsky and Hutch and Charlie's
Star
Angels
Wars
and stuff? Yeah. Maybe we'll revisit it and somebody will do a remake on Things Fishermen.
A 20th century remastered.
Yeah.
Digitally
remember
remastered.
Remember those old, like,
yes.
digitally remastered?
Absolutely.
That drives me crazy when they play the music and then it, like, changes pitch, like, ever so slightly on that screen.
It's like, wear.
Oh, God.
So.
Yeah, that's great.
That said, without getting back into that episode, tonight, we are doing volume 2 of Things Fishermen Like. So why don't we let Em go first? Em, Nate, me, and then it'll end, right?
All right. So my first thing was inspired by a trip to Sam's Club this past weekend. Something that fishermen love is UV protective clothing.
Absolutely, we do.
And yeah, it's gotten to a little bit of a comical point in my mind because it's made it to the masses at the Sam's Club. And it's not like in the fun aisles of the Sam's Club. It's right when you walk in the door aggressively in your face at the Sam's Club. And they have tights. So the UV protective. Remember when me and Olivia were testing out tights for that company? They have made it mainstream. They have UV protective
yoga pants.
Fishing tights available for the masses.
I have mixed feelings about that.
How do you? I would like to see you and Nate in those tights.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Negative.
That would be a great contest if we maybe had some like a charitable donation to a
conservation company. I don't know that I could get a leg into one of those tights.
You can. They stretch.
I don't think they stretch that much. They're gonna
it'll be like Spanx.
If they had hands, they would throw them up and be like, no, stop.
I give up.
Yeah. I surrender. Like they're not, the laws of physics do not cease to exist in those tights. Here, okay. Does anyone buy their fishing clothes at Sam's? Like, I want to hear about this.
There was ladies standing around it trying on fishing shirts as fast as they could button and unbutton. Like,
I don't know that I could go there.
See, I've bought some like shorts, like the quick dry type shorts there because they were like $15.
I'm with you.
And I'm like, I'd rather spend $15 here than like $40 like at Bell's on a pair of Columbias or something.
Mm-hmm.
That work. They work just the same. And I'm not worried about getting them nasty or getting fish guts all over them. So I can see like the benefit of them being less expensive.
That's logical.
That's logical. And I can also see buying them for kids because kids outgrow them so quick.
Totes. Yeah. All right. That's my first thing. Nate, do you want to go? You want Nate to go next?
Yeah, go ahead, Nate.
All right. So, one of the things that fishermen love, especially in Southwest Florida, are cast nets.
I almost put that on my list.
Specifically, the Barracuda cast nets, like the colored ones.
Yeah.
The special order ones.
Yeah, you know, there's a little bit of some pushback on the Barracuda nets lately. I'm seeing some hate being thrown, some shade being thrown, as much as I'm seeing some love being thrown.
Uh-oh.
So I have not held one yet, so...
Me neither. Yeah, I don't really have any opinion on them personally, like how they throw or how they feel, but they seem to be pretty popular. And even if it's not just those nets, just any cast net, and just guys love to talk about cast nets.
Mm-hmm.
What size you throw in? How big is it? What size mesh are you throwing? How many pounds per foot? You know, all that good.
Do you think it's gotten a little bit out of control? Like,
yes.
Have you ever? You throw a Tim Wade net right now, right?
I do, yeah.
Okay. Your Tim Wade is what, a 10 foot?
It's 10 foot, I think 1.5 pounds a foot.
Okay. So it's 10 foot, it's a 15 pound
quarter
net.
Inch.
Quarter inch net. Have you ever not caught enough bait with your net because of the size of the net?
No.
Like I see these guys going out of the 14 foot nets and they're 2 pounds per foot. It's like at some point, don't you need to draw a line and say too much is too much? Like,
yeah, no, I agree. I mean, like, you know, what do you know, 14 foot net? I get it. You want to be like one and done. That's kind of the goal. Everybody's goal is to be like one throw and just quit throwing for bait. If I throw 3 times and catch just as much bait as you throw 1 time, I'm not really losing anything by throwing 3 times.
Well, and I'm seeing videos on Facebook of these guys can hardly bring the net in when they throw it and fill it up
right.
because it weighs so
yes.
much.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
then there's nowhere in your boat you could stand to actually shake the entire net out. Like you'd have to stand up on top of your tower or something.
Right, right.
You know, a 10-foot net, if you hold your hand above your head and you step up on the deck, you could shake it out into the base of the most boats.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I agree with you. That's gotten a little bit out of control.
Yeah, I agree also. And can I go again? Because my next thing will flow beautifully from the
Absolutely,
cast net
you
situation.
Could go again, baby.
Okay, so another thing I have that fishermen love is catching bait, which is a mystery to me. I do not understand why all of you are so freaking obsessed with catching bait. So you get up at the butt crack of dawn, you go out and you throw your back out, trying to throw the cast net 15,000 times. Your boat gets absolutely disgusting. You spend way more money on nets and chum than you ever would on just buying like 12 dozen shrimp. And then you throw most of your bait out of that hollow bat in the very first 5 minutes we're out of the fishing spot. Can you explain this to me?
Okay, Travis, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you love catching bait?
57.
That's all Travis wants to do.
I was going to go like 450, but yeah. Like, you know, 57 sounds pretty good. No, I don't know what it is about catching bait, but I love it. I love to do it. And it's just like, I think it might be like the whole chumming thing. You're enticing these bait fish to come to you and like gather by the thousands right underneath your boat. And you're like the Pied Piper of greenbacks.
His eyes are getting big just listening to you talk about it.
I'm telling you, like, it's a thing. It's a real thing.
Here's what I think, it's more primal than that, Nate. Let me take you back. Let me take you for a walk down memory lane to young 7-year-old Nathan tagging along with me on a bait catching mission. Where is Nate while I'm throwing the cast net? Is he throwing chum? Absolutely he's not. You know what he's doing? Hmm. He's digging around in the live well, pulling out every fish that I caught. Like, there's a fascination to this. It's just like a boy going out and catching a lizard or trying to catch a... Well, as a kid, my mom always told me if you put salt on a bird's tail, it'd stay still. Mm-hmm. You could catch it, which I guess was the idea, was you could get close enough to catch it. But I think there's something primal or I don't even know what it is about discovering what's in that live well, because when you dump your net in there, you'll find seahorses and pufferfish and snapper and jacks and all this.
It's like a treasure hunt.
It is. It's like a treasure hunt. And it's like, it appeals to the little boy in you that like, it's a magic mystery well once you throw your cast net and dump it in there.
A magic mystery well.
I think it's boring. That's true. I think it's boring to go out and all you catch is whitebait. Like, I want to go catch like a million different things and then have to filter through all of them, put them back.
Like pufferfish. I love catching pufferfish.
It's the best. You can lay them in your hand.
Because they blow up and you throw them in the water and they float around for a minute and then they, you know, then they deflate and jump right back in the water.
Lizard fish and sand trout and grunts.
Yep.
And
grunts.
You hear that when they come in the boat. Mm-hmm. You get all excited. Man. You're like, oh.
That's a good sound.
And then you can't tell if it's a little one or a big one until you find him somewhere in the net.
So I've been on many fishing trips with Travis. Well, he'll make you stop fishing so he can go catch bait. Because I think he just gets bored and he would rather be catching bait than literally anything else in the world.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, it's a lot of fun for us to stand around and watch him make a mess.
I feel like that was intended to throw shade at me and instead it complimented me.
I'll try harder next time. All right. It's your turn.
First thing I've got that fishermen love is arguing about the size of fish on social media.
Wow.
If you post a fish pic, and you don't put, like, just, I post a lot of pictures on Instagram. I almost never post a weight or size because this is the experiment. Everyone listening to this, go post a picture of you holding a fish and put an approximate weight of what you legitimately think it was, and then just sit back and watch what unfolds. It's complete anarchy. Like, you're going to get cussed at because you said that snook weighed 12 pounds.
Yeah, same thing happens with, like, deer hunters. So they post a picture of a deer. Say, oh, he scores about 120. And then people are like, that deer's 120. I'm a unicorn. You know, it's like stupid stuff like that.
I can't. It does not. That phenomenon does not exist in the duck hunting world, right?
We don't judge ducks by the size.
It's binary.
We judge ducks by like beauty or,
yeah,
you know, whatever else, you know, not size.
But in the fishing world, there's this phenomenon that exists. And it seems like people love it. Like, they love to go argue about the size of fish.
Because people like to be right. So, like, you know, the one guy says, that's not a 40-inch snook, that's a 36-inch snook. And then the guy measures it, and it's actually 36 inches, and he'd be like, ha, told you.
Right. But it's ridiculous because of most of those pictures, the fish was already measured, and the picture wasn't taken while it was being measured.
True.
I think if internet trolls want to fight about size, it's because they have a reason.
they compensating for something? Is that what you're trying to say?
That's my thoughts.
All right, Nate, you said yours piggybacks on this.
Yeah, so my next one is fishermen love to blur the background of their pictures when they post on social media.
Have you ever done this?
I have not, because usually I don't take a picture of my background. It's kind of like a selfie angle, like you're looking down at the boat or, you know, up at the sky or something like that, you know. Sometimes it's like some obscure mangrove. It's just like mangroves in the background. And people will still blur it.
Yeah, it's insane, right?
It's like, okay, oh, I recognize that one mangrove tree that's on that one shoreline in that one place. It's like, come on. I mean, Really? Is that what you're going to blur out? I can understand like blurring out like a whole, like a bridge or, you know, something with distinguishing markers in the background. But like, just like a mangrove tree? Come on.
Agreed.
I can't understand blurring things out. It's insane to me. And the reason I say that is if you're out somewhere open where people could determine your spot, like we live in 2018 when there, it doesn't seem like anybody works anymore. Everyone is always on the water. So like somebody's going to see you fishing out there. They're going to recognize your boat. They're going to, I mean, it's, if you choose right. to be on social media, participate in it, they know a lot of things about you already. It's not going to be that hard for them to deduce where you are.
Oh yeah.
But you take the time instead to blur out the, you know, the smokestacks at the Apollo Beach power plant or the Skyway Bridge
right.
the Boca Grande Lighthouse. It's like, it's a top secret where you're catching that tarpon. Even back in the creeks in the backcountry where I like to fish, there are some spots where you do recognize a blowdown or you do recognize that Australian, single Australian pine or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
At the same time, I don't really care because those, even in my circle of people, aren't top secret spots. They're fairly common.
Right.
To me, I go thumbs down on blurring the background.
Yeah, me too.
If you're that worried about
it. At some point.
Yeah, if you're that worried about it.
At some point, it's no big deal.
Get up against the mangroves and take a picture and then set the fish free.
I have a science question along this topic. Are fish like dogs? Like, if my dog runs away, it's likely that they're going to come home?
I'm sorry. So, did you just ask if fish are like dogs?
So do fish have like homes that they go swim around and then they go back to?
Like a den?
Yeah.
No.
Then why do you care if people know where you caught a fish? They swim somewhere else.
I mean, spots, but some spots are better than others for holding fish.
Yeah.
So maybe not the same fish, but just fish in general.
Fish exists. Fish are like ducks. They want to make baby fish and eat and survive. Those are the three things they want to do in their life. They have no, like, home life.
I identify with that.
They don't watch TV.
It's not Finding Nemo.
So they're going to go where the currents indicate to them that they're going to find bait or that they need to spawn. So they're going to find girl fish or boy fish, whichever. Most fish are traditional. Or they're going to go wherever the bait source is. So, yeah, if you turn it loose and there's a lot of bait hanging out at that spot, there's a reason they want to be there.
So I feel like that proves my point. Unless there's a hole, like Nate said, that all the fish are going in, like, who cares? Fish swim.
As Florida sportsmen so eloquently put it, the ocean, fish have fins, and the ocean does not have fences.
Well said. Speaking of Florida sportsmen, I'm going next.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Something that fishermen love are magazines.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh,
everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Piles of magazines.
Was this directed at me?
Oh, no. I'm just looking at you while I'm saying it.
Okay.
Did you know that there are over 120 specialty fishing magazines available in the world for you to subscribe to?
I don't subscribe to all those.
Yes, in fact, you do. I went and counted in our nightstand, and 119 of 120 of those magazines exist in my house. We're at 99% capacity.
I love fishing magazines so much.
I know you do.
I really love magazines, too.
You know what I like more than magazines, though, is catalogs.
Yes.
They are fun. Catalogs are a lot of fun.
I had a conversation with somebody the other day that said if you went back to, like, 15 years, so if you went back to the May 2003 Florida Sportsman, the articles you read in that Florida Sportsman time for the time of year and everything else would be completely relevant today.
That's cool.
The only thing that would really change might be some fishing technology.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you, I don't know where they were in history then, but you may have not been able to use jigs in Boca Grande Pass and they were talking about the advent of them or whatever. But generally speaking, they're all the same year after year after year.
Hmm.
But so we'll throw Florida Sportsman over the side. I love catalogs. And I think that may be what you're talking about, too. Are you talking about magazines?
I'm talking about magazines and catalogs, but magazines.
In my heyday, I subscribed to probably 10, including some bass fishing ones. And I don't even bass fish.
Mm-hmm.
I was a member of BASS, and I didn't even bass fish.
Yeah, there were a lot of bass fishing. And then there was like specialty ones, like I bass fish out of a Ginu, or I bass fish out of a paddleboard. And those are totally different magazines for those people.
Yeah.
It's very,
I get it.
Very weird.
I get it.
We just finished Mother's Day, but if your birthday, it will be Christmas.
Next year.
Yeah, Christmas or your birthday as that comes up. I mean, if you want any subscriptions to those, let me know and I'll I'll be glad to put those under the tree.
All right. I'll be thinking about that.
I'll speak to Santa Claus.
Thank you for that offer.
All right. Can I have a turn?
Oh, yeah.
You can.
Sure.
All right. Something that fishermen love is making lousy videos.
True. I almost put that on my list.
And, and I'm not talking about the guys that have like professional cameras. Like if you work for Sportsman's Experience or whatever, and then, or what's the Rick Murphy show?
Sportsman's Adventures.
Sportsman's Adventures. If you're a camera guy for that, and then in your free time you video yourself fishing, those videos are probably going to be pretty good. I'm not talking about that guy. I'm talking about the dude that has the GoPro strapped to his head, and like he videos all day long, and then he gets home, and maybe even on the way home, he's like editing it on his iPhone while his buddy drives. And he posts it. And this is what the post says. This is what the post said. I'm sorry about the video. or it says, I'm sorry about the music. Like he makes an apology in the post of the video that he just spent all the time making that he wants everybody to watch and comment and like on. And it's like shaky head, like the camera's moving around and bouncing. And they're all great. Like they're all fantastic. And we're all super happy with America now, like that everybody can video every waking moment. But that's one of those things that's like, it cracks me up every time I see it, because we have really good production stuff going on, and then we have the middle ground, and then we have the really bad stuff. Anyway, I don't understand if you feel the impetus to apologize for your video when you post it, don't post it. Let's make that
don't
a rule
post
going
it.
Forward.
That's a good rule. All right. So the next one I have is fishermen love power poles.
Oh, yes, we do.
Not just power poles, but the company power pole.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Fishermen, like, gush over power pole and their customer service and everything. And if people don't have power poles, they love to wish that they had power poles.
Absolutely.
Like, they love to complain about not having power poles. Like, oh, I would have caught, we would have done better if we would have power poles. Or blah, 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 you know. They make excuses that involve power poles because they don't have them.
Mm-hmm. I love to make fun of people that don't have power poles.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
No, if somebody doesn't have a power pole, it's like, dude, what are you doing with your life? Like, how do you even fish if you don't have a power pole? What is this, the 90s?
Yeah. We didn't catch any fish in the 90s. What are you talking about? We didn't catch one fish before power poles were invented.
My next one is hats. Fishermen love hats. Trucker hats, chili hats, floppy hats, do-rags. Like, fishermen love hats, and they don't even necessarily need to be about a cause. Like, you're not, like, always spurred to purchase a hat because it's conservation money or anything like that. Most of the time, you're just like, that's a sick logo. I'm going to take a picture with it next to a reel, and then you buy another hat. Now, I am griping about hats particularly because we have a pegboard that has probably 175 hats on it in our garage, and we had to go store the hats in the garage because there are so many hats.
Here's the thing. As a young child, Travis had an affinity for hats. My kindergarten through sixth grade pictures, school pictures, I was wearing a hat in those pictures. I just like hats. So as an adult, that affinity has carried over. There's a twofold problem. One, you find a hat that you like and you're like, oh, that's sick. I got to have that hat. Like the new Avid hat that I got with it's got the Florida flag with a black hook in it, and it's on duck camouflage. That is sick. But you also have the free hat problem. Like in this industry, you run across some free hats.
Because fishermen love hats.
Yeah. And so what, do you want to get rid of some of those free hats?
No, I've got a bunch of hats that I have left over from the archery industry that I got for free at shows and stuff. And it's like you want to get rid of it because you're running out of room. But at the same time, you're like, I might wear that one day.
Exactly. I like that hat. I like the way that looks.
Here's
I like
what
the logo.
Nate, how much of your consideration for apartment size had to do with all of your fishing hats coming with you?
It wasn't like a big part, but it definitely was part of the consideration.
See, it factored in.
I have a bin full of hats that I can't put anywhere because I don't have room for them.
You need a hat rack.
You need a hat rack. That's what we'll get you.
A big one. A big one.
There is in the future of this show an episode on hats only, and it's going to be outstanding and life-changing for everyone.
Yay.
Don't be so enthusiastic.
Can't wait.
All right. My last one is talking about fishing. The thing that fishermen like the most is talking about fishing.
We have almost the exact same last one.
Are you kidding me? What is your last one?
My last one is taking first timers or little kids fishing.
All right, let me finish my rant. And okay. then you, I would argue that anywhere you go, if there is a group of men, and this is specific to Florida, although I'm sure it goes beyond the...
I talked about fishing at work today.
Yeah.
So did I.
If you walk into a restaurant, there's a table of guys sitting over there. They're talking about fishing. At some point during that lunch, they're going to talk about fishing.
There's a really good chance, yeah, that at some point during that lunch conversation, fishing comes up.
If you drive past a parking lot and there's a bunch of there's a truck sitting out there with a bunch of guys standing around the back of that truck. If you walk out of church, at the back of church, there's a bunch of dudes standing around the back pew. They're talking about fishing. At a wedding, all the guys are going to congregate together and eventually talk about fishing. This is what. That we enjoy that almost as much or more so than we do fishing itself.
Yes, that's true. Very true.
It's true. And I had one of my coworkers today sent me a picture of a giant fish that he caught, a kingfish. Another guy who's like a third party guy that comes in. We had a long conversation about fishing. He's going fishing this weekend. They talk about it even with girls.
Well, yeah, because this is 2018. Everyone's allowed to talk to everyone about everything.
Do you have Truth. Your hand up to say something, or are you like holding on to something?
No, I'm resting it on the wall.
Okay, good.
pick me.
Anyway, I just thought that's a perfect thing that, like, part of the fun in going fishing is the ride home when you could talk about the fishing trip you just went on.
Right.
Part of the fun in going duck hunting is the ride home, so you could talk about the duck hunt you just went on. Like, it's about the adventure.
Absolutely.
And the stories.
That's why I had my last thing as...
Something yeah, so talk about let's talk about that.
Something fishermen love is taking people who've never been fishing or taking little kids who want to go fishing and just being there and experiencing that with them for the very first time. How special that is. Like, I know you're passionate about it, Nate. I know that's something you care about too. Just introducing people to the sport because it's so awesome.
It is awesome. And there's nothing better than seeing someone for the first time when a snook like explodes on a bait on top of the water or a redfish takes off on a big run. Like,
yeah, watching their face light up. Yeah.
Or even a little bitty girl and she's like, can we keep it? And you can because it's a legal snapper or something. Like, just they get so excited about it.
Yeah. And then
yeah,
they
like
have
I'm pumped.
Their first fish picture. And they're always yes. going to have that, you know?
That's right.
So cool.
Yeah, that's something we're super passionate about.
So I think that, well, that's my last thing that fishermen love, but I think that's a big thing about why we love fishermen.
Aw.
Aw.
That was sweet.
That's cute.
So let us know what we missed, things fishermen love this go round. If you want to hear episode 1, check us out.
Godspeed.
Forgive us for our sound quality, but www.castandblastfl.com or find us on social media at castandblastfl.
Stay woke.
Not time for Stay Woke.
It's time for Keep and Release.
Nate, what is your release item?
My release this week is bad taxidermy.
Oh,
good one.
We had another post on Facebook this week. This guy posted these two ducks. He's like, oh, yeah, they look good. I like them. And they were terrible.
They didn't.
I mean,
they
terrible.
Didn't
look good. It was a wood duck and a widgeon. Is that right?
I think so. I remember the widgeon.
Yeah. I mean, the widgeon was... the only thing that looked like a widgeon was a little green eye patch on the face, but even that was a little janky. So, yeah, I'm releasing bad taxidermy. Don't go cheap. We've talked about this before. If it costs, like, less than $300, you probably shouldn't do it. Cheap doesn't always mean good. Usually means bad.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and here's the thing. A couple things, and I think we've said this before. If you post it on the internet and ask for opinions on it, and it's a lousy, like it doesn't resemble the duck at all, don't be upset when you get some serious feedback that says, dude, that's terrible.
Yeah.
That doesn't even look Absolutely. Like a real duck. And two, we've talked about the free market. We talked about it a couple weeks ago about guides and pricing and stuff like that. Like a little bit, if you continue to go for the cheap end of this and these guys continue to produce such lousy mounts, all it's doing is encouraging more people to get into it that don't have the capacity to do it.
Right.
Like, I hate to give an economics lesson, but it's not going to work out good for the consumers on this particular. You're going to lose quality.
Agree.
So yeah, that's a great release. Let's steer clear of that one. What about you?
My release is the rain.
You're over the rain.
It's been raining here for like 3 days, and because of it's interfering with my keep.
Okay. Well, we can't do your keep yet.
I know. You just have to hang in suspense until we get there.
What's your release, Travis? Travis?
What's your release?
No one can see this, but I have to remind them every week to ask me what my release is. My release is Yanni and Laurel.
What did you hear?
Has anyone? I'm sure everyone has seen this at this point. It's a sound bite that has been debunked, as I understand it, that there's a lower sound file that says Laurel and a higher sound file that says Yanni.
Right.
It's kind of one of the dumbest things in the history of the internet. I call it the what was the dress colors?
Blue and black.
Blue and gold.
White and
yeah.
Blue or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is like the dress 2.0. And it really, the person it makes me saddest for, have y'all ever seen that drawing where it's like, what do you see, an old woman or a young girl? You know what I'm talking about? And it's like the old one with the big
nose. Yeah, it's like an illusion. Yeah.
Like that dude has to be hating that he didn't draw that in 2018 because he would be like the biggest sensation on the internet. Like if we could go back to 1983 and freeze that and bring it forward, he'd blow up the world.
Before his time.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a pioneer. Anyway, I'm over Yanni and Laurel. Don't want to hear about it. I think the whole thing is stupid, honestly. Like it irked me when I saw it the other day and...
Did you read the science behind it, though? Which word did you hear?
I heard Yanni.
I did, too. Have you listened to it, Nate?
I heard Yanni from one file, well, from one post in Laurel and another post. But I distinctly know that the Yanni one was higher and the Laurel one was lower.
I could hear them
both.
I
could tell.
To me, it sounded like Yarl.
Yeah.
Yanoral.
If you, this is the principle that, like, remember the mosquito ringtones that came out?
Mm-hmm.
What, 10 years ago now?
Yep.
Like, this is the same principle that was based on. This is nothing new. So quit being amazed by this on the internet. If you're amazed by this, you need to go outside.
Yeah.
Go play in the yard. So, Em, back to your suspense keeping. What is your keep item?
OMG, you guys. For Mother's Day, my kids got me a hammock, which I have wanted forever.
Wow.
It's got, like, the metal stand, and it's a double-wide, like, cushy... fancy hammock that I can put on the back porch so I can take naps outside. I am stoked about it.
But the rain is keeping you
off
of
it. But it's been raining ever since, like, literally, I got it Monday because the kids came home Monday and then there was rain.
You would think on the back porch the rain would not be an issue, but on our back porch the rain is still an issue because we have a leaky back porch.
Yeah.
My keep is, have you seen the new Smith Chroma Pop Pitch Blacks?
No.
I have not.
Let me just tell y'all. They look sick.
Oh, my gosh.
It's almost like a black mirror. That's how I would describe it.
Ooh, I'm into that.
Yeah, I'm pretty into it, too. And they're all like Top Gun glasses. What are those called? Aviators?
Aviators, yeah.
Yeah, they're all kind of like those. Like the ones that black dude wears at the end of Top Gun that are mirrored, except they're completely black. Anyway, Clarence Gilliard. I think that's that guy's name. These look sick. So I got to reach out to my Smith guy. There may be a pair of these in my future. Like they look really sharp. So that's my keep item.
I want those aviator ones. Those look bad to the bone.
Yeah, they really do. What about you, Nate? What's your keep this week?
So my keep this week is a book, and it's a book that we've probably mentioned before, and definitely people on social media have mentioned after we did the book episode. But it's the Toch book. The Everglades guy book.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Toch Brown.
Yeah, Toch Brown. I've been reading that recently, and it's really good.
It's a fantastic book.
Fantastic book. And I got it about a year ago, but I'm not a big reader. So I kind of pick it up every now and then, read a little bit, then put it down for a while. I picked it up recently, and it's just been really good. I've really enjoyed the stories in that book.
That's a book that every Floridian should read. Like,
I agree.
I don't want to put it like in the same caliber that I do A Land Remembered, but it's still an important book as far as Florida history and the early 20th century.
Yeah.
And the life of the Gladesmen and where they came from. It's a really, really cool perspective.
Yeah. So if you haven't read that, go pick it up and read it.
Check it out and stay woke.
You're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast, the best thing to happen to Tuesdays since tacos. The podcast is the brainchild of Travis Thompson and Nathan Henderson. All production and editing is done by Emily Thompson. That's me. Make sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app, leave us a review on iTunes, and follow us on social media @Cast and Blast FL.